Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you once again, and the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and well, and He's going to soon wrap up things, and He is going to set up His kingdom in Jerusalem. And we see now the nations are whipping themselves into a frenzy because they want to divide up the land of Palestine, and our federal government has recently given, millions of dollars, maybe even billions of dollars to Iran, which promises to annihilate Israel, and are trying to build atomic bombs and missiles so that they can hit Israel. And Israel is a very small country, and they could hit Tel Aviv and practically wipe out the country. But I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to happen. And it makes me think of this, that God says, why do the heathen rage? And of course, somebody says they rage because they're heathen. In other words, they're angry all the time. And you even hear it in the music, because much of the music that you hear, it's expressing rage. And it says they rage and they imagine a vain thing. And why do the heathen rage? And the people, that's heathens, the Gentiles, but the people are Israel, the Jews themselves, take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. And it's in the New Testament, it's translated Christ, and it can be the anointed one, or it's the same as the Messiah, same word. And so they take counsel together. And I think today, and I mentioned it last week, but how these countries are raging against Israel. And the purpose is, if they can wipe out Israel, they can prove that the God of the Bible doesn't exist. And God says in His word that you might know that I am God. And one of the reasons you'll know that He is God is that He will bring them back from all over the world back to the land, which He just did. And that's a reason to know that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the God of creation. And I think sometimes when I see what's going on in the Middle East, the Shiites are fighting against the, what's that other group?
The Sunnis.
The Sunnis. I'm glad I got you here to help. The Sunnis in this country is fighting against that country and everything, and are all raging to get rid of Israel, but instead they're fighting against each other. Reminds me of battles in the Old Testament where huge armies come up with a number of nations divided to wipe out Israel, and then they pray, and they all end up fighting each other, and that's what's going on right now. And here, the United States leadership right now has given Iran, which is constantly threatened to wipe out Israel. And when they do that, the Bible says in that very passage in Psalms 2, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The very idea that they could do anything against the God that created this universe. You know, today, when, and I want to tell you something, by the way, you cannot trust the media in this country. I mean, the major media. They tell us that the Muslim religion is a peaceful religion. It's interesting. You know, it's with all the people being crucified and their heads cut off and shootings going on and bombings and all the rest of it, our media tells that's a peaceful religion. Well, that tells you right there who these people are. I mean, you know, they, by the way, you know, if you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. They got the same father. That's why they do what they do, see? But it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And, you know, if you're listening today and you're part of the group that's cutting off heads and believes in that and everything, I want to tell you something. The God of this Bible, he knows the future like He knows the past. And He already said that there'll be people out there that'll be cutting off the heads of His people. I mean, it's already right in the book of Revelation. You can read it. But those people that get their heads cut off, they're going to meet Jesus, and they're going to be specially rewarded because they stood up for Jesus. And not only that, they stood up for God's word, which means that we still have the word of God today, despite what seminaries and many Bible schools teach. They talk about the originals. They don't even know what they're talking about, see? And so now I want to get back to this. And first, though, Brother Al has a report on science in the Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And just want to mention, too, of course, that you can always go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And while you're there, you can find out some information about Bruce, some background information there. And you can download, listen to some of the programs as MP3 files. There's also some other materials there that Bruce references from time to time, and also his article that got him started on the King James and looking at it. So that's whereisgodsword.com. So I encourage you to check that out. I wanted to look at something today, and in Psalm 90, there's an interesting statement there, and it says this in Psalm 90 in verse number 10. It says, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Now, this is an interesting statement here, and I think it might have potential for some prophetic application here too, dealing with the return of Christ, especially in the end it says, "and we fly away." But that's another area to get into, but what I want to look at here is it talks about the days of our lives, or days of our years, 70 and 10. Well, score is 20, so 3 times 20 would be 60, and 10, that would be 70 years. Or if by strength, 80, that would be 4 times 20, which would be 80 years. So saying that the average life is about 70 to 80 years in length. And I was kind of curious about that. And when you look at the world as a whole, according to the statistics right now, the average life expectancy for a newborn baby in the world, this is the world's average, there's obviously some higher, some lower, is 71.0 years old. And according to one statistic that the UN published, that I think was the United Nations World Population Prospects 2012 revision, and according to the 2009 World Factbook, the human life expectancy is 70.7 years. And it's kind of interesting that we find that the human life expectancy is exactly in the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by strength, 80 years, or 70 to 80 years. And it's kind of interesting that this is attributed to Moses here, Psalm 90. Moses, a man who lived to be about 140 years himself, he lived longer than average, but that they would say that the world's population or the world's average life expectancy would be in this range. And it's kind of interesting, if you go back in history, it wasn't always in the 70 to 80 year range. It's only been probably in the last 50 years or so that the world average life expectancy has reached this 70 to 80 year range. Some nations have a much higher, Japan and Macau have an average life expectancy of up in the 80s, whereas Angola is only about 40 years old or so. But the vast bulk of the population of the world falls in this 70 to 80 year range. And it's kind of amazing. God knew what he was talking about. I personally think that this has some implication that at the time that the Lord comes back, that would be the average lifespan of people. Well, 100 years ago, it wasn't that. It certainly wasn't that 1,000 years ago. It wasn't that at the time of Christ. But it is that today, and so that is suggestive that we're living in the last days. But be that as it may, 70, 80 years old, that's the bulk of the world population lives to be 70 to 80 years old, just like the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet their strength, labor, and sorrow, or yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Thank you very much. I always enjoy those reports once again. They're really excellent. And our scripture reading today dealing with our subject, upholding the Word of God, is this. Paul is speaking in the name of Jesus. That is, he is speaking as a spokesman for Jesus, like someone might speak for the President of the United States. So it's the Jesus speaking, basically. Here he says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, first of all, it is a command of Jesus, and he says you all speak the same thing. And just recently I was listening to a preacher speak on the radio, and I'm sure that he means well, and I'm sure that he's a nice guy, but he was preaching on standing for the gospel. And yet, right off the bat, he leaves out the name of Christ. He quotes the scripture verse and leaves out the name of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's in Romans 1:16. And out goes Christ. Why did he do it? His translation leaves out Christ. And he's telling us, well, we should stand for the gospel. Well, Paul says, beware lest someone preach another gospel that I have not preached unto you. They got all kinds of gospels out there. I mean, they got the gospel of prosperity. They got the socialist gospel. I mean, you name it. I mean, they got all kinds of gospel, liberation gospel and whatnot. It goes on and on, you know. And he's preaching on and on, standing for the gospel. And yet he has taken out the gospel of Christ. He's taken out Christ out of there. And I was talking to Brother S. I says, what in the world can these preachers do this? You know, our whole foundation of our faith is based on the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God, and yet they mess with the Word. They've taken out words out of the Word of God. Now, you read it, and some people just go and read, oh, it looks like the same thing. I saw on the internet some guy saying, well, I read it through, and it's all the same. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because there's thousands of word changes, and he hasn't done his homework, and that's what it's all about. You know, the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You know, I'm just hoping you don't have to believe what I'm said, but particularly if you are a preacher, you need to ask yourself, why do you think like you do? Has Satan deceived you? Oh, he couldn't deceive me. Maybe that's the problem, you know. There's just so many things. There's so many word changes. And if the word is pure and Jesus said, thy word is truth, and you're using, you know, if I'm listening, I'm for charity's sake, I will not say the names today of the different pastors on the radio, on this station even, that are using different translations. And then every year, it seems like somebody else is promoting somebody else, some new translation. And they don't agree, and they don't come from the same source. It's just insanity. You know, Brother Al just said, well, I said, why do they do? They say, well, it's a non-issue. You know, it's an issue with the Muslims. They teach over in Saudi Arabia near colleges, you Christians have many Bibles, we only have one. That's what they say. The Roman Catholic Church, they know the difference, but some of you don't even know the difference, don't admit to it. You know, today, the Gideons have been giving out Bibles, and they've been giving out the King James, and the Roman Catholic Church, they refuse to accept King James Bibles, but they'll accept the New King James Bible. How come? What do they know that you don't know? Well, I'll tell you what, if you would check. And there's many books out now, and they have the changes right there. And you could check it out for yourself. You don't have to listen to what we say, but check it for yourself. Why do you do what you do? Don't you realize that this is important? How could you have and recommend Bibles that contradict one another? You know, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, some of the people that you're listening to, Christians have listened to the ungodly, and they're standing in the way of sinners, and now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to give you an illustration that may shock you, but you know, one of the places, schools a number of years ago, that a lot of Baptists sent their young people to was Bob Jones University. And it was started by a Methodist evangelist, and he started it because leaders in the Methodist church were so blasphemous, some of them, that he thought, well, and attacked the Bible so much, he thought, I got to start a school that stands for the Word of God, the Bible. So he started Bob Jones University, and they used the King James. But this is so typical of so many Bible schools and colleges and seminaries. His son was sent off to a liberal school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he became the president of Bob Jones University. And so he invited professors in from Princeton University, a number of professors that that school had studied in Germany, where they picked up theories, and all it is theories that overthrew the text that was given to us by Christ and the apostles, the received text. And I'm telling you, all they are theories. That's it. I mean, the evidence is still there. And I've repeated the evidence many times. There's translations that go back either to the apostles or at the time of the apostles. We could say that the readings in the Greek Orthodox section of the Bible, where they have special readings, basically the guy from Munster, Germany, can't think of his name right now. He's supposed to be one of the leading textual critics. He says it goes right back to 100, which is the time of the apostles. And most of those readings back up the King James Bible. The Syriac Peshitta text out of Antioch backs up the King James Bible. The Koine Greek text backs up the King James Bible. The italic text backs up the King James Bible. And the King James translators use these texts. But the modern ones come out of Alexandria. I was talking to a guy from Borromeo Seminary, you know, and he says, we all ought to get together. And I says, well, okay, we ought to all get together. If we all go by the Bible, get together. And I want to agree with him, be agreeable that day. And he says, well, you know, the Bible's come down in many different translations and so on, you know. So I try to be real calm and gentle. And I says, well, I believe in my King James Bible. Oh, he says, we go by the Alexandrian text. Well, I knew he did already before he told me, you know. That's what the modern ones are based on, and it's less than 1% of the evidence, and it's corrupt, and it takes out the names of Jesus. So here's this preacher on the radio, and a lot of these modern translations, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of, and it takes out Christ right out of his own gospel in these corrupt translations. Romans 1:16. Now, what does Jesus say? Let me read this. I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing. Now, is that the first preacher comes on and he uses one counterfeit. The next guy comes on, he uses another one. And I know they say, oh, they all say the same thing. No, they don't. That's a lie. And maybe they don't know that it's a lie, but it's a lie. And we have been giving out this paper for the last 6 or 8 years, and a lot of you've got it. And you can see yourself. You don't have to believe what we say. Check it out. There's thousands of changes that have been made. And it says that you speak the same thing. Is that speaking the same thing? Now, there's a Bible that's come down to us, the King James. And you can't understand it. I understood it when I was a kid. And it has a built-in dictionary that explains most of the words, and the ones that aren't explained, usually in a footnote, there'll be a definition of a word. Now, and that there be no divisions among you. Well, how can you, the Bible says we're not to have divisions. Jesus said it. When you have Bibles that disagree, that makes divisions among us. And but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. Now, the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Do you mean to say that God has given us many different Bibles that disagree with each other? It's ludicrous. It's insanity. It's spiritually crazy. And I just wish some of you would just think about this thing for a while. And if you don't think there's a difference, this is the foundation of our faith. And Satan is destroying it. Now, let's go back to when the devil talked to Eve in the beginning. And he does this in Genesis chapter 3. See what he says. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. So the first thing that the devil is, the main thing, they have the law, what is called the law, the first reference that explains what's going to come to pass. He says, yea, so he comes on as agreeable. I'm one of you. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe I'm a reverent biblicist with unquestioned loyalty to the originals, which I think is about as ridiculous a statement as you can make. You don't have the originals. you have copies of copies, and where it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it says, from a child thou hast known the scripture. You think Peter had the originals, or Timothy had the originals? Of course he didn't. But he had the scripture, and the scripture is inspired. And so the same way our King James Bible is inspired. The Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever, and with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. So God is in the business of translating, and he is in the business of preserving his word, and we have it today. And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of the which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now God had said, you may freely eat. Ha! So she takes out freely. She puts out a revision of the scripture. If you look at the previous chapter, God says, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. And then it says, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. And God didn't say, neither shall you touch it. So she takes out, then she adds, lest you die. And God didn't say, lest you die. He said, you will surely die. And, you know, you'd surely go to hell. And by the way, God has offered to take you to heaven. And if you don't go to heaven, it's your own pride and rebellion against the God of heaven. And he has given you the evidence. The fact that God has brought Israel back to the land, he says, that you might know that I'm God, and he brings them back to the land. So God says right here that we can know him. Now, God says here that he would, God says, you will surely die. And so if you go to hell, you set yourself there. God wants you all to go to heaven. He says you be part of God's family. Jesus died for your sins, paid for all your sins. He rose from the dead bodily. And you could call on his name right now, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, repent, and I trust in you, and you will be saved. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And so what happens now? The devil says you will be wise as the gods. That's the whole thing. And you know, when young people are taught this, they inject the subtle satanic poison of pride into it. And that's one of the things, that Satan controls man's thinking by pride. He is called the king of pride. And today, if you have not looked into this and you just ridicule what we're saying without any investigation whatsoever, it's because Satan has got you under his control. He said to Eve, you'll be wise as the gods, you know, knowing. You know, you could have PhDs and know all kinds of knowledge. The devil give you plenty of knowledge. But if that knowledge doesn't come from God, it can be a big lie. And just because a guy has a PhD or a DD and a string of them doesn't make any difference whatsoever. It can be knowledge that Satan has given to him. And a lot of thousands of men do. God says he's hidden it from the wise and prudent, revealed it unto babes. Why? You need a little bit of humility when you come to God and say, God, I don't know it all, and I prayerfully ask you to open my eyes and show you. Everywhere in the Bible, God teaches that we have God's word. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments we have it forever. And you know, the Bible says in another place, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and thy mouth. These preachers, they're quoting the word of God many times, but they're using their corrupt translations. And they're using different ones. Wake up, for crying out loud. This is crazy. And just investigate the subject. There's many books out there on this by people that know this subject. They've investigated all the latest research, and it's biblical. I want to give you another source that you can look at it with, a lot of good introductory books. Chick Publications. He puts out those little Chick tracks. But get on the internet and check that out. And get his catalog. He has a number of excellent introductory books by people that know what they're talking about. And you could start right there. And they have the verses and they have the changes. And they'll explain the whole thing to you. God, thank you. We have his word. And his word lives and abides forever. We got it in our heart. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.